Traore lifting his cross in. Here it is! Raul Jimenez arrives! 10 yards out! The place is header into the far corner!
It's ball game times again. I'm joined in here by Mubarak. How's it going, my friend?
Very well. Probably the craziest week of my whole life following football, but it's all good. It's all calm. First episode for the season. I'm quite excited.
I'm very excited as well. I think it's going to be a very, very competitive season all around. We're talking Premier League. We're talking Champions League. It's going to be packed with action, packed with excitement. So I'm very, very excited. I'm looking forward to the beginning of the season.
Yeah, man. Before we even get to the transfers, you know, we couldn't do an episode after the Euros. I was rooting for Denmark. I was seriously rooting for them, but it didn't get to happen. You were rooting for Italy. That happened.
Yes.
And you were obviously excited. I was talking to you on WhatsApp and I could see the excitement.
Yeah.
How did you digest all of that?
I remember when he told me you think Denmark is going to go all the way. And I was like,
yeah,
bro, are you serious? Come on.
They got cheated. Even though I loved England, but they got cheated. They could have got to the final.
But I think England played a lot better than Denmark that game. England was the team that deserved to be in the final.
Yeah, true.
But as I have said, since the beginning of the tournament, no one came close to Italy with their performances. They were hands down the best team in the tournament, and they fully deserved the Euros. And it's a very, very big thing for them, because last World Cup they haven't qualified for that, and to come from that to win the Euros, it's quite an achievement. And they have a very strong squad, very young, very passionate, they have a lot of potential to do good as well in the upcoming World Cup. So I was very excited for them.
I don't even want to talk about the racism right now. Obviously a big shame. Bukayo Saka and Marcus Rashford, as well as Sancho, suffered racist abuse. But it's all calm, it's all gone right now. Saka obviously enjoyed a lot of love from the public right there in England. Even though some people say it's a bit much, he got an award. I can't remember what it is right now, but some people were like, it was too much. Like, but it is what it is. Maybe they're trying to make them feel a bit at home. And I'm quite excited with what the Arsenal fans have done. They've made him feel very, very comfortable, which is very important for a young player like that. And the Jadon Sancho at Manchester United right now. We're probably going to talk about that during the course of the episode. So yeah, man, and that's it about the Euros. Let's jump on all the transfers.
The biggest one of them all, the one that shook the footballing world, which is Lionel Messi to Paris Saint-Germain. What do you make of that?
Bro, before I even answer that, I'm just looking at so many people spending a lot of money right now in football. Like, it's crazy. Khaled Al-Mubarak at Manchester City, their chairman, obviously flexing his muscles. I tweeted the other day, I was like, his pockets are a bit of a problem for football right now. I did not even have an idea that Nasser Al-Khelaifi was going to do the same for PSG, bringing in Lionel Messi, bro. They brought in Sergio Ramos. We thought he was going to stop there. And right now, Lionel Messi, it's a free transfer, but it's still big money. They're paying him like £650,000 a week. It's just crazy. For you as a football fan, how are you digesting all of this? Does it make you very excited, or does it make you feel a bit worried?
Well, for now, I think PSG has had arguably the biggest transfer market thing going on like in footballing history. Signing Lionel Messi, Wijnaldum, Donnarumma, Sergio Ramos, and Hakimi, like 5 or 6 big names all signed
all
in one
free.
Window. That's
all
outrageous. Yeah, and all free, and that's outrageous. But
except for Ashraf.
Yeah, maybe Ashraf is the one. Yeah, I think they paid him like 30, 35 million. I'm not sure.
No, it was more than that. I think 70 million ish.
70 million?
Around that price range.
When we talk about something like this, it brings the financial fair play into question. If you look at Man City and PSG in recent years and the amount of money they're spending and the waste structures they have in their clubs, it's crazy. I mean, it's like they get a special treatment, you know? Yeah. And it makes you question what's going on behind closed doors. On the other hand, teams like AC Milan, sometimes they're not able to sign players because of the so-called financial fair play rules or whatever. It's like, how can I say that? It's like, it's selective with them. Maybe I would argue and say maybe the teams that pay them, they don't bat an eye for them. And the teams that don't pay them, they're all over the place on them, you know? What do you make of that?
Bro, it's just mad what's going on right now. When they were talking about the Super League idea, UEFA, FIFA, everybody just, even the fans, everybody just was so rejective of it. But right now, it just seems like it's the Super League all over again. And what's more funny for me is the fact that Paris Saint-Germain did not even join in the Super League idea. They knew they did not even need to join the Super League to make all of these big signings. And I'm hearing that the board members right there at PSG, some of them actually did not want Messi to come because they felt like they were breaking rules. But maybe there's no rules. They've got their man and it's looking crazy right now. I don't even want to be people like Jurgen Klopp or Diego Simeone or even the Chelsea manager. Okay, Chelsea are spending big money as well. But I don't want to be like a rival manager whose club is not spending as much as these other clubs. It's just a bit weird, to be honest. It just looks mad. But from a fan's perspective, I'm going to say it's not even my money. So it makes me excited, the fact that I'm going to see Messi playing alongside Neymar and then alongside Mbappe.
That team is a cheat code right now.
Imagine playing on FIFA, bro. Everyone's going to have PSG.
Yeah, everyone. I'm having like arguments with my friends right now. They're all fighting over PSG, saying, this is my team on FIFA. But anyway, if we go back to the Super League, remember all the fuss that was going on when they announced? There was something big that happened then. Nasser Al-Khelaifi, which is the PSG president, he was appointed as a UEFA director at the same time. And all of a sudden now, he's spending a lot of money, breaking whatever record on signing players right now, and nobody bets an eye. And this is what makes me question the whole thing. Feels sketchy, you know?
You know, I think the whole Super League idea, even though it did not come to fruition, I think the clubs were kind of flexing their muscles because it was very obvious that those clubs were so powerful. If they really wanted to have a league of their own, they could do it without UEFA. And UEFA at some point felt very vulnerable. The clubs showed that they had the power in their hands. And that's exactly what's reflecting right now, because they're not going to ask PSG not to play Champions League football because they signed Messi and they're paying him a crazy amount of money. They're not going to do that because the fans obviously want to have entertainment. If you're taking PSG out of the Champions League right now, they're taking out a huge chunk of the excitement. So don't even think about that happening because it's not going to happen. FIFA, UEFA, all of them, bro, all of them, they're a bunch of corrupt bastards. I'm sorry to say that kind of language.
That's but true. It is what and, it the is. History, that's and the history true. Justifies it as well. If you look like back 5 years ago or 6 years ago with the whole scandal and all that. But what I was saying is, if you remember PSG, they were not very supportive of the idea of the Super League.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Nasser Al-Khelaifi becomes a director of the UEFA. And now you see all the business that's going on. It makes it look not good. You know, it makes it, there's something going on, but we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
They have some kind of a special treatment. And I'm sure of it right now because of what happened. We can make about it whatever, but it's football is not the same. It's not the same as it used to be like 10 years ago or whatever. Now it's all about money and it's all about who pays who the most. Quite sad, to be honest, dude.
It's exciting. It's still. But, talking about being sad, though, I don't know why Lionel Messi leaving Barcelona broke my heart a bit. Just a tiny little bit, bro. It broke my heart.
Maybe because he saw his conference. I didn't see the conference.
Yeah. I saw his conference, he was tearing up. It looked genuine. Like, he's been there all of his life, like over 20 years. He's been there since he was a 13-year-old kid. Joining the club from Argentina obviously had issues. Okay, not obviously, but he had growth hormone issues, and Barcelona stepped in and helped him through all of it. And he became the world superstar he's become. So it's only normal for him to be that emotional. But Paris is a great place to live, so his family is going to enjoy it. I saw him talking about his family is going to miss Barcelona, and they're going to come back someday to live in Barcelona. But bro, Paris, an incredible place to live, incredible teammates. I've seen photos of Gini Wijnaldum just having fun around Paris. He's talking about
probably the luckiest guy on earth right now, Gini Wijnaldum.
I tell you, bro, Gini
he dodged the bullet not signing for Barcelona. He was lucky not to sign for Barcelona, and he ended...
Do you know who got the bullet? Do you know who got the bullet?
Sergio Aguero.
Bro.
Yeah.
And on top of that, he's injured.
No, I don't think he's injured. I think he's faking it. He's pissed about the whole situation. I guarantee you.
Bro, that's a bad thing to think. You think he's faking the injury?
Well, I'm quite positive about that. Because if I were him, I would do it too. I would be super pissed about the whole thing. I only came up and joined the team because of Messi, and he goes, that's quite crazy. Mm. But what I was saying, I actually didn't want Lionel Messi to go to PSG. Can you ask me why?
Why?
Can you make a guess?
I don't know, to be honest.
Okay, for me, I wanted him to join a team that has history, that has legacy, you know, to build on his current history. Mm. Going on
but to... What team could you have joined then? The teams that really have history right now, okay, maybe we only can at Liverpool, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's I'm not going to mention Liverpool, don't worry. Because Manchester that's out of order. But I would have preferred for him to join like AC Milan, for example.
But they don't have the money, bro.
Inter Milan, yeah. And teams from Premier League, like maybe Man United and maybe Chelsea, even though Chelsea is not a team that has a lot of legacy, but still it's better than PSG and better than
modern fans.
Yeah. And to see him play in the Premier League would have been exciting, bro. Would have been crazy exciting. Seeing him go to PSG, it's just... sounds weird, you know, going to the French league. No disrespect to the French league, it's good, but it's not the same level as Premier League or Serie A or La Liga before. Not now, La Liga now is gone to shit. But my point is, I would have preferred for him to go to a team that has history, that has legacy to build on his current history. You know, going to PSG, looking back at it like 10 years from now, which seems to be only money motivated, you know, and that does not go well with a guy for like Messi, for example. But yeah,
does that also bring forth the argument of, okay, I hate to do this, but I have to mention him, Cristiano Ronaldo. Cristiano Ronaldo fanboys obviously are going to say he played at Manchester United, did bits right there, went to Real Madrid, then right now he's playing Serie A. So maybe when the argument arises in the nearest future, if it's not arising already, maybe the Cristiano Ronaldo fanboys would actually have more points, because they would say he played for Barcelona all these years, and when he did move, he moved to the famous league in court.
True. He played with the teams that has the most legacy, or like Mourinho says, football heritage, you know?
Yeah.
They have football heritage. I'm talking about Man United, Real Madrid, now Juventus. It sounds good, and on paper it's amazing. If he retires, and he can brag about playing for the best teams in the best.
But what if he wins the Champions League for PSG? Because PSG, I'm not sure they've won the Champions League before. If he wins the Champions League with them, then that's creating legacy as well.
That's good, but my point is, it's not a team with a legacy. It's a team that can be looked at and say, yeah, this team is great. PSG is only... They've been only relevant for like, what, 5-6 years before? Nobody knew about them.
Maybe not in your part of the world, but in this part of the world, I think they've been relevant for time, bro. They signed JJ Okocha, remember him? They signed, I think, in 2001.
But were they one of the elite teams?
Nah, not really. It used to be Lyon, Marseille.
Yeah, Lyon and Marseille were the best teams in France up until 6 years ago or 7 years ago. I remember when Lyon dominated the French league for like, what, 8 years in a row or something?
They kept beating Real Madrid.
Yeah, I remember that too. So my point is, it doesn't sound, you know, good for Messi to play for a team like PSG. It sounds money motivated, and I don't like that.
Yeah. And talking about money, Barcelona actually were looking to get this one done. They were quite confident. They brought in actually the president, Joan Laporta, when he came in as president. He was adamant that Messi was going to stay, and that was his mantra, to keep Messi at the club. And it looked like that was going to happen, because last summer, Messi was talking about leaving, and maybe Barcelona could have cashed out. Maybe they should have cashed out and got a bit of money from it. But right now, he's going for a free transfer, which I think Barcelona are absolute losers. That's a big L on their head. Maybe they've achieved a lot with him, but it could have been better if they got some money from it. With all of the struggles they're going through right now, they obviously need money, because the money is why he's not going to stay. Up until, I think, last week, before he became a free agent, they were looking to a new 5-year deal, cut price. He was ready to take a slash to his salary. All of that was done. But then La Liga stepped in and said, no, you're not going to get this done, because it's not possible. You're not balancing your books and whatnot.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, he's off to PSG right now, and it looks very, very unfortunate for the Barcelona faithful. But for the neutral fan like myself, I'm excited, bro.
Well, yeah, he could be excited, but Barcelona current dilemma is a collective of bad business all over.
Yeah, over the years.
Over the years, they sign players for the sake of signing. They spend big money for just because the fans wanted them to do.
I think the problem started when they signed Felipe Coutinho.
Yeah, also Dembele.
That was the turning point. Yeah, Dembele as well.
Their business model is one of the worst in the world right now, because they don't have strategies. They only sign players because someone said it. If we look like a team like Liverpool, for example, even though I don't agree with most of their strategy, but sometimes it becomes successful. They don't sign for the sake of signing. No, they have their whole database about players. They look at the players. They scout them for a long time. They look at options. And then when they get players, they have a certain criteria, a certain age. They have a lot of, you know, factors going in before they sign up there. When it comes to Barcelona, no, because he's a big star, big name player. We can splash the cash for him and we get him. Whether he fits in the tactics or not, we don't care. And that's the reason they got into the problem in the first place. They've signed Dembele, they've signed Coutinho, they've signed Griezmann, and they have no idea where to put them in starting 11, just for the sake of signing. And look what happened to them.
Where does all of this leave Barcelona?
Well, I'm afraid it's going to be a bad couple of years for Barcelona. Maybe just like AC Milan when they got twisted, you know? I don't see them recovering from this at least like 5 years from now.
But I don't think so, bro. To be honest, I have to disagree with you, because I'm looking at that Barcelona side. They've got Ansu Fati, they've got young Pedri,
but they also have got an aging squad. They have an aging squad. They have PK, they have Busquets, they have a lot of players that already reached 30 and above.
Last year is dead.
So yeah, it's going to be tough for them. But we'll see, we'll see. But currently La Liga is not watchable right now. They've lost Cristiano Ronaldo 3 years ago or 2 years ago, and now Messi.
What's your top 5 leagues in the world right now?
Premier League, Serie A, maybe French League now because Messi joined in, Bundesliga, and then La Liga.
Wow.
I might say the Saudi League right now is a lot better than the Spanish League. Honestly,
yeah, exactly.
Have you seen the amount of signings that's been going on right now? They've signed Al Hilal, the biggest team in Saudi. They've signed Matias Pereira from West Brom.
They signed who?
Do you know Matias Pereira? Pereira?
Yeah.
The Brazilian guy. He's gone to Al Hilal, Saudi League.
What?
We also got Talisca. Yeah, do you know Talisca?
Yeah, Talisco for,
is gone for the other team, Al Nassr. Paulinho, he's gone to Al Ahly.
Who else? The same Paulinho that played for Barcelona and Tottenham.
Yeah, the same Paulinho. Who else? Wow. And my team, Al-Ittihad, signed a guy called Coronado. He's very good as well. So, and on top of already having Gomez, having Banega in Al-Shabaab, who else? The Saudi League right now has a lot of big names. It's going to be very competitive next season. So keep an eye on that.
Bro, it seems to me like Saudi is a very, very football crazy nation.
It is.
Maybe outside of Saudi, people don't actually quite know. From being friends with you, I've seen how much you love football and how crazy you are about it. I remember you used to send me pictures from going to stadium, even in Makkah, bro.
Yeah.
But I don't know, people outside of Saudi Arabia, I don't quite know. So if you're listening to the podcast right now, just got to know. Maybe one day if I'm in Saudi, if I go for Hajj, I might be branching out of the stadium to watch football. That's crazy.
You're gonna enjoy it.
Not many people do that, because for Hajj, people are just serious with, they just want to come, worship, and then leave. But maybe I might be branching out of the stadium to just see football.
Yeah, just go in a time where the games are going on and you're going to enjoy it, believe me.
But would I be allowed to go see football?
Yeah, you should be.
During Hajj?
Yeah, you should be. It's fine. I don't think there's a problem.
But bro, Matias Pereira joining a team in the Saudi League. I want to talk about that because I was actually eyeing him for
Liverpool. Same
to Liverpool. So same. This is and quite shocking right now.
And he was linked to Liverpool as well.
Yeah, he was. People were actually saying that he's a traitor, that he's not being professional, he's not training, and he's like, "No, I'm Brazilian. I've worked so hard to get to where I am right now. I did not think he was going to Saudi Arabia. I thought he was going to probably Liverpool, or a bigger club in Europe. But going to Saudi, okay, I know you're obviously excited. He's playing in your country.
Well, I'm not
but...
excited because he's going to a rival team. I'm not very excited about it.
Okay, but don't you think this seems a bit money motivated? Because we saw it with Oscar,
obviously it is. Back, it is. They paid him a lot of money.
It's a bit weird for a young player.
It sounds like it's weird, yeah. But believe me, when I say Saudi League is actually very good, it's competitive.
Is it better than the Chinese League right now?
I would say so, yeah. Probably the best league in the Asian continent right now. Maybe the J League, Saudi League, and then the Chinese League. They are the top three.
Well,
I'm quite sure about that.
Talking about local football. A guy from Nigeria, Anayo Iwala, he just joined a team in, I think, Tunisia, joined Esperance. So that's a good move for him. He came from one of the biggest clubs in Nigeria, Enyimba. And he played for Nigeria, the Super Eagles, for a couple of times. And it's just good to see him joining Esperance. Some people are saying it's not a good move that he's going to a club that's not in Europe. But I think Esperance is a good destination for a player who's looking to develop, because Esperance are always trying to win the CAF Champions League. I don't know if you've heard about them, but they've been at the Club World Cup a couple of times. So that's a very, very good one for him. I just had to chip that one in.
What's the team's name?
Esperance de Tunis. Yeah.
Esperance. Yeah, I haven't heard of them before, but...
I'm actually surprised you've not heard about them.
Well, I haven't. When was the last time they played in the Club World Cup?
I think they play. I'm not sure, but I think they play in the Gulf Cup or something like that, where all of the teams from that region, from North Africa into the Middle East. I think they have a competition like that, don't they?
Say the team's name again. I can't.
Esperance de Tunis.
Esperance.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that.
Okay, moving on. We've talked about Messi for quite a while now. We did not plan it was going to take that long, but we just had to do justice to that, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to talking about Romelu Lukaku to Chelsea. It looks like this one is a done deal. It's not been confirmed yet, but we've been told, I've heard that he's in London. He's had his medical and no player travels without a deal being in place. So we can assume that in the next 24 hours or less, Lukaku, maybe by the time you guys get to listen to this episode, Lukaku would have been a Chelsea player. But for a player who has scored goals everywhere he's been, aside Chelsea, he made 10 appearances for Chelsea, did not score a goal, although he was a very young player at that time, went out on loan, played at West Brom. I remember him absolutely having Jamie Carragher for dinner one of the games, scored against Liverpool, that broke heart, went to Everton, did bits at Everton, scored plenty of goals, went to Manchester United, was a big beast. But then Manchester United, being not the smartest club in the whole world, sold him. And we were talking about him not having a great first touch. But then he went to Inter Milan and was doing his thing. And was saying from Italy, look at the boy right now. The boy is shining. And I remember him signing for Inter Milan. He was like, Inter Milan isn't for everybody. So he went there, made a statement, won Serie A, big, big statement. And right now he's going back home playing for Chelsea right now. How do you see this one?
It's going to be a big signing for Chelsea. I guarantee that. It's going to make them title contenders, no doubt. And it's going to be tough. But let's look at the way Chelsea have handled winning the Champions League. They've gone on and spent £100 million on a new player. If we go back 2 years ago and look at Liverpool and what they did, they gone and signed Van den Berg and I don't know who else, Adrian, on a free deal. If you compare the two teams, it's outrageous what Liverpool have done in comparison. Mm. When you win a Champions League, you go on and sign players to build on your already strong team. Yeah. Create a dynasty. You want to create a team that's going to win for the next 5-6 years. But Liverpool, when they won the Champions League, they haven't done that. Going back to Chelsea, now they have signed one of the top strikers in the world with this amount of money. This shows a clear ambition, you know, which the Liverpool board lacks, unfortunately. Also, coming to this transfer market right now, Liverpool have been very quiet.
Bro, it's weird because FSG right now, I think they just have a very rigid way of doing things. They like to spend from what the club is making. But the club has made a lot of money, obviously winning the Champions League. I thought that would have created room for us to sign players. But the only excitement ended with us signing the Nike deal. Obviously, more money for them, but yet no player is being signed. But Klopp has said that a player could be coming before this window.
Fingers crossed.
So we see how it goes. We've been linked with a couple of players. Last episode, I was raving about Renato Sanchez. If that deal goes through, because I've seen a bit of talk in the rumor mill, people are talking about Renato Sanchez to Liverpool. If it does happen, I'll be excited.
But, I would be excited too.
There is also Saul Niguez.
But I told you who would I prefer.
Yeah, you said Saul Niguez.
Yeah, he fits in the Liverpool team like a charm. He's an amazing player, very physical, very technical. He would be the ultimate club player. I know he hasn't had a very good season last year, but we're talking about Klopp. He's going to get him back to his best. And if we get to sign him, he's going to be an upgrade on Wijnaldum. I guarantee that.
But I'm looking at Harvey Elliott. I'm so excited for that young kid. He's so good. I saw him in the friendly against Athletic Club. What a player, bro. What a player. I think he's going to have the season of his life. If he stays injury free, I think he's going to be one of those players to look out for this season.
He's given me Phil Foden vibes. I don't know if that's the same with you.
I think it could be better.
Well, that's a big statement, but let's hope so.
Maybe it's too early to judge, but I was really following him all through his loan spell at Blackburn Rovers. So I was looking at him, I was seeing what he was doing. And for him to return into pre-season and to have made that big statement, I think he's just 17 or 18 years old. So that's a very young player and potentially one player who would come in as a new signing for Liverpool. Maybe that's also why Liverpool are not really keen on signing new players, because they're looking at players coming through the academy. Some of them are quite high quality, because we had Trent come through the academy, which has paid huge dividends for Liverpool over the past couple of seasons. And Trent has been integral to what Liverpool have gone on to achieve. So maybe Liverpool are not trying to get themselves under pressure. This is only an assumption. I know a lot of Liverpool fans, including myself, have not been very excited with what's been going on with the transfer market. But if we want to cut them some slacks, they've been doing quite all right, let's be honest. Because last season, as bad as it was, we still finished third. So there's not really much to really complain about. It's not like the team is really doing badly, because we're still in and around that talk for winning the Premier League, winning the Champions League. So let's see how it goes. Klopp is not panicking. Maybe he's panicking behind closed doors, but when he does, press conferences. He's so calm. So I'm assuming he's fine with it. And I'm really not so worried, to be honest. If we sign a player...
We need squad depth, bro. We probably have the weakest squad depth in the whole top six.
Don't say that yet, bro. Don't say that yet. Looking
at our front three and who's on the bench to replace them. I know Minamino has been good in this preseason.
He's been good, yeah.
He's been good. But we still need one more attacker at least.
You know what we need?
Assuming Shaqiri is going to leave. Who do you think would be a very good option?
I think we need a center forward. We need a center forward. Because when Firmino is not playing, Origi is an absolute waste of time. He's a legend. And maybe this sounds a bit disrespectful for everything he's done. No disrespect to him. I love him. I love his personality. But I think it's time for him to go. 7 years at Liverpool. He's paid his dues, bro. I think it's time for him to move on. He'll be very, very happy, of course.
Ever since that Champions League final, I think he was never fussed about playing football afterwards. He never showed passion, determination, nothing. He just walks in and just plays as he's doing his duty and leave, you know? And that's why I don't like... That's the thing that I don't like about him. But before that, he was a cult hero for Liverpool for that game against Barcelona, for scoring in the final. Yeah, he's a Liverpool legend in my eyes, but we need to move on.
Of course. So if you're looking at where Liverpool really needs to strengthen right now, okay, it looks like we're bulked up in defense.
We only need two signings. One new midfielder and one new attacker. That's it. And we should be good.
But what do you make of Andy Robertson getting injured?
I was really heartbroken, man. But looking at Tsimikas right now, he's looking good. I'm excited for him. And he looks identical to Robertson. I've seen the game. Same runs, same crosses. His body type, his body shape is also looks the same. I didn't miss Robertson last time I played. I didn't miss him. It looks like we already found a very good replacement for him. And I'm excited also for another reason, because he's going in straight into my FPL team, because he costs only 4 million. And that's
wow, really?
Yeah, only 4 million, bro. Can you imagine that?
That's an expo for me. I think I'm going to have him in.
Yeah, that's a bargain for a defender right now. And I hope he stays like that. But I think he's probably going to play like 3 games, 4 games. I think it's confirmed that Robertson is only going to be out for a couple of weeks. But also, I really liked Konate. His passing has been amazing. Yeah. He looks tough and he's built like an absolute beast. And I like that about him. And it's looking exciting for Liverpool. But we need...
But what do you reckon would be Liverpool's best centre-back pairing? I saw Gomez. Gomez looked very good. Van Dijk looks...
For the upcoming game, or overall, for the rest of the season. Would be Van Dijk, Konate, I think.
So Gomez drops to the bench?
Drops to the bench. I really like Gomez, but I believe Konate is a lot better. He has better passing range. His presence, bro. He's built like a machine. And that scares defenders away. So that's why I would prefer him. But don't sleep on Matip as well. Matip has been amazing.
Yeah.
So we have a very good defensive option right now. And I'm quite glad about it. But going to next game, I would pick Konate and Matip as starters.
So Van Dijk on the bench for the first game?
Yeah. I think he didn't look sharp enough for me.
Anyways, talking about FPL, though, you just mentioned, so that's Expo for all of our FPL managers. I see you guys joining in. It's quite exciting. It's going to start this Friday. By this time, I'm sure people are putting finishing touches to their teams. I have my team already, but you just gave me an Expo. I actually had Amati from Leicester City for £4 million, which I thought was a bit of a waste of my £4 million because I just needed to have somebody there. But to have somebody who would actually get game time for 4 million, I think that's a big bargain. And quickly, let me just reel out the code. The code to join our FPL Mini League is 296VPK. Just join us up and let's have a roll.
What do you think is your top three options going into the FPL?
Top three options, must haves. Trent, definitely. The past three seasons, the best defender in the league. He puts in those crosses. He's so involved in the attack. Liverpool have the potential to keep clean sheets, and what he offers going forward, I think it's just a no-brainer to have him on my team for the defense. And for the midfield, Mohamed Salah is my captain. Sure pick. I think he's gonna score in the first game. He did not score throughout preseason, which is a bit mad. So Norwich should be where I think he's gonna get a goal against Norwich. And up front, I think that's a bit.
We're quite short on options up front. But yeah. there are a couple of good ones. But go on.
The ones I'll just say maybe Bamford or Kelechi Iheanacho, because I have Iheanacho on my team and he scored in Community Shield final against City. So it's looking like he's going to continue from where he stopped last season. And for, I think it's around 7.5 million. So that's good money to have that kind of player in your team. And he's going to play alongside Patson Daka. I don't know if you've been following up.
Yeah, he's very good from Salzburg.
Yeah. That's the African who's going on for Leicester City this season.
Yeah, he was also linked with Liverpool, so I know quite about him.
Hmm.
But yeah, for me, I agree with you that Trent should be an option. But for me, I think he would be more of a long-term option. But right now, I think Ben Chilwell is very good. Looking back at Chelsea last season, they've had a run of clean sheets with them. And Tuchel is very good when it comes to defensive structure. So I would stick with Chilwell. He's very good. He can give you output in the front, and he's going to have clean sheets. For the middle, Salah is always the obvious option. But for me, and I know it's going to be questionable for some of you, but Riyad Mahrez for me is a must-have in the upcoming 4 or 5 rounds. I know Guardiola is kind of crazy when it comes to...
Guardiola is a bit of a madman when it comes to rotation. So that's I'm not even going close to any City player.
Yeah, I agree with you. But stick with Mahrez for at least 4 rounds. I think he's going to be a starter in the next three games. Because we've been hearing Bernardo Silva might leave. And Gundogan, I think, is injured. Also, De Bruyne is not very fit. So Mahrez is going to be a very good option for the first at least 3 rounds. And for the front, I would have always gone with Kane. But looking at the current situation, with him not wanting to stay and he might leave or whatever, I don't think it's going to be a wise decision to have him in the team. But my alternative has to be Danny Ings. He's going to be very good for Aston Villa. And he even scored on his debut like a day ago or something. So these are my options: Ings, Mahrez, Chilwell.
Mm. You seem to be looking a bit at short-term options at the start of the season. Some people might be wondering, if you're selecting your team at the start of the season like this, especially for people who are new to FPL, what should be your approach? Should you be looking at more long-term options or short-term options?
I always have both. I always try to stick with the big players. Like Salah, Fernandes, Son, these are going to be like my long-term options. But sometimes if you want to rank up in the rankings going up, you have to choose players for certain times, you know, players with less ownership, players with great form, and then you switch and choose. That's the beauty of the FPL. And as I said, Mahrez is one prime example of that. He's not going to be a long-term option because we know Guardiola and how he rotates his squad. He's good right now because of the current situation in the Man City team with the likes of Bernardo Silva probably leaving and all the injuries that's going on. But Salah is a long-term option. He's going to stay in my team probably for the whole duration of the season. Same goes for Fernandes. I look at 1-2 options as short-term, and bro, I build the whole team as a long-term option.
It's a bit of a mix of the both for you.
Yes.
All right. So do you have your team now? Let me see what your team looks like.
Yes.
About it.
Okay, I'll go ahead. I have Sanchez, Brighton goalkeeper. And then I have Luke Shaw, Ben Chilwell, Tissamikas, and Ben White as my defense. In the midfield, I have Salah, Fernandes, Mahrez, and Son. And in the striker option, Ings and Tony from Brentford. This guy sounds very exciting. Have you seen any of his interviews?
No, not really.
He sounds cocky, man. I don't know if you heard his last one. He said, I've heard that a lot of people, that I've been chosen by millions of people in the fantasy. I don't have no pressure about that. Pick me as captain.
I like him.
That's why I'm going to have him in my team. He sounds good. He sounds good.
I like that. I like that he's aware of the fantasy football. So,
But he also had an outrageous statement like a couple of days ago. He said, "We're gonna go in and we're gonna aim for the league."
that's weird. That's weird.
Yeah, but
means,
he said
it means that the media in England actually have somebody to be excited about, because it seems like the Premier League has not had somebody since the days of Balotelli. And
yeah, he sounds like a very interesting character. He sounds like an interesting character, so that's why I'm picking him up. And he's also good. I've seen his numbers last season. He's not bad. So for a striking option, I would recommend him. What about you?
What I have right now, I have two goalkeepers. I selected Martinez from Villa and Foster because he's the cheap option, just 4 million. I'm trying to save cost. And for my defense, I have Trent, Luke Shaw, Luca Dean, Ben White, and Amate from Leicester City. But I'm going to replace him for Kostas Tsimikas because he's only 4 million. And for the midfield options, I have Salah, Son, Rafinha, Maddison, and Ben Gilmore. Up front, I actually had Tony at some point, but I don't know why I put him out. But from what I've heard right now, it seems like I'm being influenced. but right now, I'm still probably going to have a lot of changes to my team before the deadline. But right now, I have Bamford, Iheanacho, and Antonio up front. So that's my team.
Quite promising. I'll give you that.
Yeah. I think we've come to the end of the episode. You have something else to say just before? Nope. Which game are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to the Man City Spurs game.
That's on Sunday, right?
Yeah, I think so. And of course, I'm looking forward to the Liverpool game.
Quick one before we go. Let's do our predictions for the season. Let's go top four. Maybe this is going to break a little bit of Liverpool fans' hearts, but I think City are going to win the league because from the signings they made, I think they have all of the pressure to win the league. If they don't win the league, then it's a big failure for them. So I'm going to put them at number one. I think Liverpool come second. United, number three, and United and Chelsea would struggle it out a bit for number three. I might sound a bit stupid at the end of the season, but this is my prediction. I think City number one, Liverpool number two, United number three, and Chelsea number four.
Well, for me, if you asked me before, I would have said I'm not going to predict anything, but since you have already started with it, it's going to be tough, but let's see. I would pick Chelsea as number one.
Really?
Yeah. Stick with me. Man City probably second. We're going to be third. And United fourth. But
okay,
if we make new signings, at least two big signings, we might be the one to be first. But Chelsea are looking very strong right now.
To be honest with you, bro, if Liverpool win the league this season, I'll be very surprised.
Same. But who knows? It might happen.
Fingers crossed. Exciting weekend upon us. Arsenal are going to kick it off against Brentford. Hopefully, Ivan Toney scores. Yeah, man. That's been the size of it. Board Game Times podcast. Mubarak and Basel. Over and out.